Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Nida Daf Yud Nida 10. On today's Daf Yomi, we are on Yud Amabez on 10b, and on the Daf Yomi, we're discussing a sentence, a statement about the spit of a Nida. So basically, we're going to learn in the Mishnah on 54b that if we have the roke, the spit of a man who's a Zav, or the woman who's a Zava, or the spit of a Nida, or of a woman who gave birth, that is going to transmit Tumah, ritual impurity, to anybody who touches it. Biblically speaking, it will transmit Tumah. And so too, if there's a Zava or a Nida or a Yoledis, and they stepped on a utensil, then they're going to make that utensil into an Ava Tumah. And that is what's called Tumas Midras. And this Midras is going to transmit the Tumah to anybody who steps on it, and also anybody who touches it or carries it. So in this context, Ula says the following statement, Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shum Ben Yotzadak, the following teaching, Tinokas, meaning a young girl, Shelo Higiyas Manoliros, that she's not yet 12 years old, and she hasn't established, also, and she hasn't gone through adolescence yet, she hasn't gone through puberty, and so we're not expecting to see a menstrual flow from her. Shelo Higiyas Manoliros, we're not expecting to see this flow. Virasa Pamrishona Ushnia, if she saw some blood coming out from her nidus area, she saw this blood come out twice, then we say under those circumstances, since she only saw it twice, Ruka Umidrasa Bashuk, that the law with respect to that is that all of her spit or any utensil that she stepped on in the marketplace, meaning to say that we know that it's her spit, or we know that this is a utensil that she touched, but we don't know for sure if she was a Nida, and as a result, if she would be a Nida, we would know that her spit and the utensil is Tameh, or we don't know if she's not a Nida. We don't know the status that she's in. So since she's only had it twice, we say she is tahor, because she is not established as a person who is one to see spittle. Who kisama namitar, and also if there's a stain on her garment, that the blood stain, we assume that that stain is also ritually pure and it's not from the menstrual flow. And so too Ula adds velo yadana, but I don't know imdi day imdirabe. I don't know if this teaching that Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak, whether it was Rabbi Yochanan's position himself or is the position of his teacher, Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak. So the Gemara asks, well, why do we care if it was Rabbi Yochanan or if it was the position of his teacher? Well, my nav kamina. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why we care. We care when we have a dvarim shel echad bim kol mishnayim. We care if it's going to be considered. The position of two people, of Rabbi Yochanan and his teacher, Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak, or if it's just a position of one. And so therefore, we want to know if it's two versus one, because if it's an extra position, we're going to give way to it and rule in that way. So ki asa Ravin, when Ravin came, v'chol nechute yama, and all the sages who came from the land of Israel to Babylon were with him, amrua ki Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak. They said the law is like Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak, that this garment, that the stain on this garment is tahor, because she has not established a presumption that she is having a flow. And so therefore they ruled, they said the law is like Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak. And so we see that Chizkiah's position of Echabim Kom Shnayim, and so therefore Chizkiah is an individual versus the two people there, and so therefore we ruled like Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak. And so that was the halacha. But we also see from here an interesting, we're beginning to see a discussion of, they're talking about the spit and the menstrual stains of a woman, or the utensils that she touches in the marketplace. And there is a discussion, and we see it on some of the commentaries on this daf, and also it's a much larger discussion of the spiritual concern that the rabbis had with respect to Anita. Now, many of those concerns were based upon the fact that there was a fear of the menstruating woman, and And therefore, for that reason, it translated into areas of halacha. But the question is this something that changed over time? And in fact, we do see in this area of halacha that there were much stricter rules about it back in the time of the Talmud and even in the Middle Ages. And today, they're no longer really something that it's concerned. Today, we understand that this is something that's basically biology and it's nothing that has a spiritual danger. But we see this, for example, in the discussion of the Ravid brings down in the name of the Sefer Mitzos, that if there was a nida in the household, that a kohen would not be allowed to go up. If a kohen was in that house, the kohen should not duchen to go give the priestly blessing, because we have to be concerned that maybe the kohen touched her and therefore became tamei. And so, under these reasons, and so too, he says, they cite the price of Nida, that any Kohen that is, does Birkas, that comes up to do Birkas Kohanim, and if his wife was menstruating, or if his mother was menstruating, and he's in the same house, then his prayer is considered an abomination. And the Ravid himself was very skeptical about this, because we know that a person from Halacha is even allowed to be secluded with a Nida. So to come up with this principle is really something that is not in accordance with halacha. And indeed, the Pri Chadash himself says that we should not even publicize the matter of the Sefer Mikzos, because they are not Ein Hei Me'ikra Din. He says, leave it for the Jewish people to act in a manner that does not in accordance with this. And indeed, the modern-day poskim say that these ideas of basically shunning the menstrual woman and secluding her and putting her in a separate house, which is hinted to in this Talmudic statement, where we say that the spit of the woman in the marketplace is so problematic. All of this is not really found in halacha today. This was something that was around in the ancient world and the Middle Ages, but our halacha today is transformed from viewing the nida as a threat into just viewing this as a biological reality that has halacha ramifications, but not as a spiritual threat to the welfare of society.